It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think he got to punt it here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow. You're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio show on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio show here on a Tuesday evening, rainy Tuesday in North Florida. And we understand, talking to our friends down in Orlando, that they're having some rain and weather issues in Central Florida as well. Good news is that I think most of the state needs the rain. And even better news is that it's not a tropical storm or a hurricane or anything like that. So hopefully your lawns get green, ladies and gentlemen, and you drive safely on the wet roads this evening. I'm Brian Sexton, and the phone number this evening for you to join us is 800-355-NFL1. That's if you're listening across the network, online at WOKV.com, or on the Jaguars app that you can get on your phone. If you're here in Jacksonville listening to our flagship station, you know the number. It's been this way for 17 years, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. And the coaches just walked into the smell of Sea Best Seafood, and they've got shrimp.
Outstanding.
Are those stuffed crabs? Deviled crabs, okay. There is a whitefish that's breaded. It looks delicious. Pacelli was, the reason that there's not much left is he was here.
Is he working on his diet still?
I don't know. At this point today, no, he's not. And then the pork chops from Seabest. So it's all right there for you, folks. If you are coming to the game, find the Seabest Seafood tent in the Pepsi Pavilion. And if you are in your local grocery store? Winn-Dixie. Winn-Dixie, there you go. Winn-Dixie. They've got it all right there. So the coach joins us, and again, you've got the number, and the phone lines are lighting up, and I'm not surprised about that at all. We sat, about an hour ago working on a segment of the TV show, and I said, breaking news, and you just kind of smiled at me, so I'll ask the obvious and get it out of the way. Do we have breaking news this evening? Are you ready to make any sort of pronouncement about your quarterback position? Or is it...
Aren't you going to let the callers?
No, I wanted to ask. All right, great. Let's do it right out of the way. Let's grab Sam. Is this Charleston, South Carolina?
Yes, it is.
Sam is in Charleston, South Carolina. Sam, please. The floor is yours.
Hello.
Hey, Sam, we're going to put you back on hold. We're having some technical difficulty there. We'll go to John in Brooklyn instead. Hello, John. How are you?
How you doing tonight? How you doing, Coach?
Good. Hello, John.
A little disappointed. You know, I can't blame me for being a little disappointed. So what's going on with the quarterback position?
I think I just asked that, John.
John.
I prefer Gabbert. You know, you look around the league, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, some others, you know, succeeding a little bit. So what do you think about Gabbert? Do you think he's going to start?
And there you are, Coach. The proverbial hot seat. Folks, if you could see the spotlight that's down on the coach right now.
John, thank you.
Giving him a serious look.
Thank you, John, for your support. I've heard your voice before, and I know you. I know you're having a tough. I mean, it was a tough weekend for you too. Yeah, it was tough up there.
Jets fans are piling on.
Sure, sure. Well, they get the right to. You know, we got the pilot on a little bit after 09, and they got the pilot on this time.
What happens?
So we move on to the next one.
Okay.
But I mean, what I said, you know, basically yesterday, and what you know, I would reiterate tonight is that. You know, we made a decision to play Blaine on Sunday. And with that, there's an obvious question that's going to be asked. You're going to ask. John's going
to
ask.
Alagi asked it to you right away in the postgame.
Sure, sure. And that's natural. And I understand that. And however, that doesn't mean that we have to answer that question right now. And so, you know, right now we're preparing for the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
And lineup changes at any position really won't be disclosed, you know, to Carolina, and they certainly won't be disclosed tonight.
I was just about to ask you if this is a competitive advantage to go throughout the course of the week and make the Panthers prepare for both quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, throughout a roster, there are people that may or may not make it back, that may or may not play, that roles may change and things like that. And certainly quarterback is
high-profile. Yeah,
right.
Sure, when you take a quarterback in the first round.
The minute we took that quarterback.
Oh, you knew it was coming.
Yeah, that was that kind of began the whole process.
And the minute that you put Luke McCown in the starting role, I mean, you knew it was only going to be a matter of time before week to week it was asked. It was not asked after the win over the Titans because he played well.
Actually, it was.
Was it?
Yeah, it was asked by, like, the TV crew.
Oh, okay.
Stuff leading into
Okay. But it wasn't asked, and it was not a question that was asked on radio shows, or it was
not a big
issue here.
No, after the win, we had three people in the Monday press conference. Yesterday, I walked in, we had 30. I mean, it was markedly different.
Right. Now, have you made a decision, and you're just not willing to share that, or is this something that you're still working through? It's a little different way to ask. I'm not expecting you to tell me who. Okay. And then here's the next question. In this multimedia world that we live in where everything gets out, can you keep a competitive advantage for more than a day? I mean, you think this will last until Thursday?
Probably not.
But I'm not going to convince you to give it to us tonight. Huh?
You're not going
to
get it tonight.
Oh, man. All right. Well, folks, you better bring your best stuff. Look at how the calls are like, oh, man. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The quarterback position has obviously been dissected 16 different ways, and we are past the 24-hour thing. But I do want to ask you about the way that your defense played. And in particular, last night on Jaguars All Access here in Jacksonville, Loggy showed some tape of Terrence Knighton. And I tell you, I mean, the explosiveness with which he played, the athleticism with which that big man played was, I don't want to say surprising, but there was that one explosive play. I forget whether it was LaDainian Tomlinson or Sean Green, but he took a step to the line.
Sean Green.
Holy cow. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was like a linebacker pouncing there. I was like, is that Terrence Knighton?
Yeah.
My good. We've always known he's athletic. Clearly, he's lost weight, and that is helping.
Well, he's got his weight under control. I mean, he's still a very, very big man, but he has worked his way down to the prescribed weight. And so, you know, now we just need to keep him there. And you see the kind of play that that he produces when he's at that level. You know, when he was, I think his best game last year, if you had to watch all the tape from last year, was the Philadelphia Eagle game. And in that game, he was 332, and he was lights out. And so if we can just keep him around that number, he's really...
Is he close to it now?
He's close to it.
Okay.
And when he's at that kind of number, then his real athleticism is he's got natural power, stays on his feet, and then he becomes a special player.
You know, we talked so much last week about what the Jets could do on defense with a guy like Revis out on one corner. Cromartie's pretty darn good, as we found out over the weekend.
Yeah.
Do you get the same effect with a guy like that in the middle of your line? When you've got a guy like Terrence Knighton who can plug holes but can also be – there was another play where he shot a gap and then leaned back and grabbed the running back and pulled him to the ground. When you've got a guy playing at that level in the middle of your defensive line, does it do much of the same thing? And give you that,
well,
that you can do so many more things with him?
Great players can do special things on the football field. And, you know, when Terrence has his weight down, he can play great. And, you know, the guys that you're talking about, you know, different corners or different positions around the league, yeah, they can make great plays. They can make difference-making type of plays.
But from a scheme standpoint, do they allow you to do different things because they're playing at such a high level?
We're at our best when we have two big tackles to start with. And I think when you look at, you know, the defenses that that we put together here in Jacksonville that I've been a part of, you know, the great defenses, you know, over time, they've got some dominant players in there that you can build around.
All right, folks, so you can text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. We got much more to come here, and of course, you're welcome to bring your thoughts and see if you can pry the answer loose. I couldn't quite do it. This is the Jack Del Rio Show on a Tuesday evening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton along with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Joe Fortunato alongside taking your calls. You can join us also via Twitter, @JagsVoice. Here's a quarterback question for you, Coach. Ready?
Yeah.
What do you think of Cam Newton?
Well, he's played awfully well the first 2 weeks of the season.
He looks good. We were watching him on the film in your film room there for TV, and the one thing that I marveled at is how big he is and how effortlessly he moves.
How about how he flips the ball and it goes about 65 yards?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've always said it in here, don't miss the obvious. Don't miss the obvious. And I think with Newton, I missed the obvious. And that was not that he wasn't this big, strong man, but I didn't know that he'd be able to translate his skills so quickly to the NFL. But when you look at it, you think, well, yeah, why not? The guy can throw. The guy can run. He looks calm and collected in the pocket. The obvious is Cam Newton looks like a special football player.
The first 2 weeks is as special as it, you could have it start. I mean, that's
854
historic, right? I mean, I think it's first.
Well, it would have broken Kurt Warner's record, two-game record, to start the season.
Right.
In 2000, Kurt Warner had 827 yards, and Newton has 854, except you know, Tom Brady had 517 week one and 400-plus last week. So
no, I mean historic for anybody starting their first two games.
Oh, are you, that done.
Not even close.
Done. But it would be historic for any quarterback in league history for the first two games of a season if Tom Brady hadn't put together the Miami and
what's he throwing for, like 1,000 or something?
Like 900 and something, yeah. I mean, he had 517, and I don't know what the final number was last week, but he's over 900. So his quarterback rating is 89.1. He's thrown three touchdowns, four picks. Here's the real thing, though. The guy's 0-2. So that football team is riding their rookie right now. And that's a team, Coach. They have Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. I mean, that's a team that's run the ball over the last couple of years really well.
Yeah, they've got a good line. They've got good backs. They know they can do that part. They've really developed the passing part of it. And Steve Smith is a tremendous football player. You can see he's excited again because he's been open down the field, but now the ball's getting to him, and I think he's fired up about that.
Yeah, no offense to Matt Moore, who was the quarterback for a good deal of last season, but, I mean, this guy's got an arm that...
Different.
Yeah,
completely different look, you know. So and they have a new approach in terms of what they're doing as well. And so they're doing some good things, and they had two teams on the rope. They easily could be 2-0. Easily could be 2-0. When you watch the tape, they're in control of the game. They're not just out in front and happen to be in front. They're beating good football teams, Arizona and Green Bay. Very fortunate to get out of there with victories.
355-NFL-1, if you'd like to talk to the coach, 800-355-6351. Now we grab Sam in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Coach.
Hey, Sam.
I'm a big Jaguar fan. I know you're going to do what you want to do regardless, but I personally, as a fan, think that it is clearly time to start the Gabbert era so that he can develop and he could come in next year and play at another level. And I think that you should push the offensive line to protect Gabbert more. And one more thing is I think is that we should really go out there and sign a big receiver because, no offense, but the receiving corps looks like crap. So I was wondering what you're going to do with that.
Okay, Sam, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Strong opinion. And you don't just go find that playmaking receiver sitting on the street waiting, Sam. So that question's already been answered.
Well, I mean, I think, look, he's a passionate fan. He cares. Appreciate him calling in. he weighed in. We're not taking a poll, but we appreciate the fact that he's a Jags fan. He's supportive, and he's calling in to voice his opinion. And glad you did so, Sam. And appreciate the input. And hopefully you'll like the product we put on the field. I think we've got an exciting football team. I think there's some good things in store for us this year. The guys are excited about where we are. We took one on the chin, no question about it.
Right.
Not the first team in the NFL to take one on the chin. Need to bounce back. I mean, how many bounce back stories do you need? You know, Pittsburgh last week takes one on the chin in Baltimore. They come back, you know, big victory. It's how do you feel today versus how you felt last week? And what you want to do is you want to get back on the winning track and get that good feeling back, and that's what we're working really hard towards right now.
Speaking of good feelings, how do you feel about Mercedes Lewis, Derek Cox, and Jason Hill heading into this week? I mean, we're talking about two guys in particular in Mercedes and Derek Cox who were key players for you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and with Jason and with Mercedes, they're two of our primary. If you were going to say who are your top three options in the passing game, they're two of them.
Right.
So We didn't make any excuses. We went up to New York with a team that was intent on going up there and finding a way to win. Didn't happen. But I think it looks different with those two guys involved in the passing game. And, you know, quite frankly, when you don't have them and you take them out, now you're looking at, you know, Zach Potter and Newsom or
right.
somebody, you know, an undrafted, and it doesn't look quite as good. So I do understand where he's coming from.
Got a feeling where they'll be this week? Chance to have them back on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes, chance. Hopefully Wednesday goes well.
Absolutely.
Wednesday, Thursday, as we get ready, you know, and put in our game plan and get them back on the practice field.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. We're due for a break. Let's go ahead and take it right now. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show. And by the way, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. And we're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Rolling right along here with the head coach. Phone lines are stacked, and we will work our way towards them immediately. It is a rainy Tuesday night through most of Florida, so we would encourage you to please drive safely, both hands on the wheels, on the wheel, so that the wheels don't go off the road. All right, here we go. Let's grab Joe in Green Cove Springs, Coach. First call of this segment. Joe, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, guys. What's up? Good evening. Hey, it was a tough game, but we regroup and reload. But I want to ask the coach how he likes the kickoff change. I think it benefits a kicker like we got with a strong leg and Scobie. And I want to ask him, would he ever try a 67-yarder like Tennessee did?
Boy, that's a good one. First of all, appreciate you calling in, Joe. And
the longest you have tried was like a 62-yarder with Scobie against the Steelers, right?
He can make them from about 65 if the conditions are all right.
Right.
You know, I think indoors,
yeah.
You know, I think 65.
Not at that place up in New York.
I think, well, unless you have the wind at your back.
Right.
That crosswind we had there, there's no way the ball would travel that far. Yeah. So, you know, it just depends on the circumstances. But he's got enough leg. He's got enough to give that opportunity or give that type of field goal an opportunity. The kicking rules, I don't like them because I think it's an exciting play and I like to see that part of the game. So,
well, Cromartie certainly made people hold their breath.
Yeah, he did. And he didn't care where he kicked it. He was bringing it out.
Yeah.
And we didn't cover very well. And so credit him, you know, for the talent he has. And they did a good job blocking us. You know, we've got to be able to stuff and shed those blocks a little bit better. But, you know, as far as the rules, I didn't like it because I think over the course of time it's – we did not vote for it and do not agree with it because over the course of time you're going to eliminate a good number of the kicking game, of the kickoffs and that part of the kicking game, which, you know, we feel like usually is a strength for us.
You know, and the Jets game was not a great special teams performance, but one of the things I've noticed, and everyone around here has, your punt coverage team has been amongst the best in the NFL over the last couple of years. How far are you from getting there? I mean, it looks like Rutland is close. Kasim has been around the ball. But the ball hasn't bounced your way, and certainly it's got to do that sometimes too. But it looks like maybe a hair off from Rutland, who gets down there in the vicinity but isn't quite in the right spot. You know, and he's an undrafted rookie, and he didn't have an off season. And I'm just trying to figure out maybe how far you are from getting the ball down inside the 10-yard line,
yeah.
Which is something you've done regularly.
We have to do that better. We've not started well doing that, and part of that responsibility is Matt Turk to give us a ball that we can get down, and then it's the gunners to get down there. And, you know, Will Middleton end up starting because Derek Cox was out.
Right, and he's a normal gunner for you.
Will's a normal gunner that would hopefully get those balls down. Now that Rutt has had some live experience there, he's had some in the preseason, but now that he's had some go in the regular season, you hope that he would learn from that and adjust to that and make a better play there. So, you know, that's a phase that we count on winning. And we did not win this past weekend, for sure.
355-NFL1. Let's grab Norm, who is next from Arlington. Norm, you're on with Jack Del Rio. Good evening.
Hey, Brian, Coach.
Hey, Norm.
Last night I was watching All Access, and Jeff Loggeman was explaining something about the great defense that the Jets have. And so that eliminates the Jaguars and the Jets. But of the other 30 teams, they're coaches out there that are going to give the Jaguars a hard time this year. Out-coach them.
Well, I don't think you could make a case for that this past Sunday, to be honest with you. I think if you talk about the way the protections were designed to take on the blitzes, we didn't have free runners going after a quarterback. We actually blocked it up pretty good.
Yeah.
And we had a sack on an overset on the third play of the game, and then we had one where a tight end, you know, busted an assignment. Actually, a tackle playing tight end, but anyway, busted
Evan.
Yeah, Evan busted one late in the game, but when Blaine was in there. But schematically, I mean, we ran it at them, you know, better than they ran it at us, and we protected the quarterback well. And I don't really understand where that's going, other than I would say that they outplayed us and they won the game, and they deserved that. So we tip our hat to them. But we feel like we've got a good team. Feel like we've got a good defense, and.
I would think that
Jeff was probably showing some of the good defensive play that we provided last week, even in a loss.
He did. He showed Terrence Knighton and how Terrence Knighton impacts the defense the way that he played. We featured that. And the segment that he was talking about with respect to the Jets was, you know, that is a defense with a lot of guys on it that allow them to do some special things. And in particular, he was talking about the two corners and how that erases the outside, and then it leaves seven defenders to stop the run in the box, with safeties that can play deep. I mean, he was describing Rex Ryan's defense. But, you know, let's get back to yours, because Norm wanted to ask about your defensive ratings. You're rated 5 this week, 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up an average of 72 yards on the ground. You have 3 interceptions, 3 quarterback sacks. What do you think about your defense 2 weeks into this? You've been talking about playing good defense.
Yeah,
it seemed like they played pretty well on Sunday.
We're going to be a good defense this year. I think we've gotten off to a decent start, and we feel like there's better football in the future. So, you know, we'll keep working at it.
355-NFL-1. We're due for a break. We'll take it now. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1. Or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Rolling right along here, the Jack Del Rio Show, along with myself and Joe Fortunato, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Live from Jaguars Central inside Everbank Field. And you like our new setup here. We've got more TVs than you can shake a stick at.
I'm admiring that.
It's kind of nice, yeah. All we need now is the Levy folks to bring some wings down, and, you know, we got a place called Joe's. Yeah, right, Joe's. Maybe a tap in here, too. We'll just leave that one at that, though. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Alan on the south side. Alan, you're up next with the head coach.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, do you think that Gabbert can do what Cam Newton's doing, and or is that even the style that y'all are looking for?
And when you say that, you mean throw the ball up and down the field 400 yards a game?
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody really thought that Newton could do what Newton's doing.
I know I didn't.
I mean, 400 yards in the first two outings, that's there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that are doing that. So
I know that they've got a couple of guys. I mean, Steve Smith has been a very good player for an awful long time. And they've added 2 tight ends, veteran tight ends.
Yep.
Greg Olsen from Chicago and Jeremy Shockey via New Orleans. Legadu Nani, who is a fifth-year receiver who they got in free agency from San Diego. I mean, but it's not like they're playing with Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Brandon Stokely, you know? I mean, the amazing part to me is that he's distributing the ball. I mean, he's making things happen down the field. These are good players. I'm not trying to denigrate them in any way, shape, or form. But, I mean, it's not like that's a team that was throwing the ball at all last year.
No, he has made a big difference. And the tight ends that they landed this offseason have plugged right in. And those 3 guys, Steve Smith and the 2 tight ends, I think are the top 3 receivers right now in terms of production. You know, they're both all 3 are averaging like
– You mean on their team?
20 yards a catch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 20 yards a catch. I mean, so they're chunking it down the field. Can Blaine put up – we think he's going to be a franchise quarterback, so we think in the future that we will be able to do those types of things with our quarterback. Yeah. So –
there's your answer.
You know, do you say is a guy going to come out and have those kind of – I don't think anybody can predict that kind of success. He's come out and he's had a great start to his career. You got to be happy for him. That's great. Now we're getting ready to slow that down.
Right.
But That's the challenge. Well, that's the challenge that's being presented to us.
He's got 854 passing yards and three touchdowns and four picks and 89.1 passer rating and 62.7% completion percentage, but they have no wins. They're still 0-2. So if you get all of those, are you going to be happy because you got all those but no wins? They've got two first-round running backs in their backfield, and if I remember 2 years ago, they were about as good a running tandem as you find in the NFL when that Panthers team went to the playoffs. So, Alan, as you look at it, I think maybe I'd want a little bit more of those two guys, too, and not expect that they're going to throw the ball every single play. That's just me.
No, I'm listening.
Jonathan Stewart's a good football player.
I'm listening to you. I think they've done a nice job. Anytime you hit on a guy, you take a guy that high, you want him to be a great player, and he starts out the way he has, you got to be fired up. So
yeah, and they are. And they should be about playing Gabbert when he cracks the starting lineup. I mean, it's young quarterbacks tend to do that in a league where you pass the ball as much as they do in the NFL these days. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. And we're about due for a break. Why don't we stay on time here and grab it? And we will continue. Phone lines are lit up for the Jack Del Rio Show this evening. Go figure. You're listening to the head coach on radio here on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. We roll right along, and we go to Austin, Texas for our next call, and Brody is standing by with a thought for the coach. Good evening, Brody. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Hey, Coach, I was just wondering what's the game plan for Sunday, offensive and defensive-wise, and the quarterback situation. That's all I want to know.
Yeah, that's all anybody wants to know, Brody.
Thanks for the call, Brody.
Unfortunately, you're like 47th in line to try to pry it from him. And he didn't throw that out there. But, hey, since you won't give us the quarterback, maybe the game plan. What are you going to do on first downs? I can't blame
spread it out. We'll spread it out and throw it.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at the Panthers' defense, since we spent so much time on Cam Newton, they got one heck of a pass rusher in Charles Johnson. And the guy on the other side, Greg Hardy's not bad either. Another plug for the film room segment on the Jack Del Rio Show, which airs on Sunday mornings in Jacksonville at 11 o'clock on CBS 47. We show both of these guys against the Cardinals coming up with big sacks. These are big guys that move fast.
They are. Good players. I mean, Charles Johnson, he's either got two or three sacks. I know I've seen him show up in all the tape. In each game, he's showing up around the quarterback.
He has two, and Hardy has one. The Panthers have three total.
Well, I know one thing. They're very active. They're around the quarterback, and we're going to have to account for them. So, you know, I think when you look at their defense, the thing they're doing, they've got they've got McDermott and his input, his Philadelphia,
Sean McDermott,
growing up around, you know,
Jim Johnson.
That's right. Thank you. And all the blitzes and the exotics and all the things they do, and then Ron Rivera and what he did in San Diego and some of the stuff that they like to do. And you see, defensively, they're very creative. So we're looking forward to that challenge.
You came in here with Mike Smith, and yet it was your defense early on. It was always your defense, but you were the defensive coordinator at the same time that you're the head coach as you're installing it. Is Rivera doing the same thing?
You have to ask him. Okay. I don't know that.
Well, but I see
more four-man front. Okay. And Ron has typically, although he played in both.
Right.
Most recently, he's been a 3-4 guy, but they're running 4-3.
Okay.
And maybe that fits their personnel better, but that's the decision they made. It looks like that Sean's running it, based on all the intel that we get, and that Ron's operating as a head coach.
What about the loss of the linebacker? Thomas Davis is a guy, unfortunately, the last couple of years has been out of the lineup with ACLs, three straight years now. They lost him last week. It's John Beeson in the middle that's a loss, and Jaguars fans haven't really seen him since they took him first because we haven't played them since, but boy, is he a good football player.
Very good. They're both active playmaking guys, and I think certainly Beeson, which was a significant loss. I mean, one of the stronger linebackers in the league. I think next to Willis in San Francisco, I think probably the next best inside linebacker in the NFC. Yeah. And so very talented, and just shame to see him go down. You saw it on film.
Early
he's sprinting after a tight end that got loose, and and just saw it go out right in the middle of the play. And, well, it was just sad to see. But good football player. Good football player, and they'll miss him. But, you know, they plug in the next guy, and that's what you do in the NFL. I mean, it's about plugging in and playing. I mean, because you're going to end up with guys. I mean, we went up to New York last week. What happens? You don't have Mercedes? You got to go with the next guy. That's what you do. That's what the league's about. Green Bay won a title last year doing that.
They had
a bunch of guys go on injured reserve. They plugged in other people, found a way to win, went on and won a championship.
Before we take our next break, this thought. How good? I haven't seen the play. I imagine we'll show it on Jackhammers. How impressive is Maurice Drew trucking the defensive lineman for the Jets?
It was pretty good.
Just pretty good?
Well,
I saw the guy after the play go over and slap him and say, you know, slap vibe with him and say, yeah, that was kind of had his head down. He's a big guy, and he got trucked. Do you ever get
surprised? I never get tired. I never get tired of seeing that.
You ever surprised by anything he does? Like
no.
That? I mean, that was a big man that he just, I mean, he ran over.
No. I mean, when you see the Sean Merriman block a few years back. And
is this as good as that one? Because I saw that guy hang his head.
That had, I mean, because Merriman at that time was like Superman.
Okay.
You know, and
yeah,
then,
he still was, really.
And then Maurice, you know, there just was a certain aura about him. And then Maurice, you know, kind of knocked him on his can. And that just made for...
accelerated.
Yeah, that was good theater.
All right. We got to take a break. More to come. The Jack Del Rio Show is back on the air right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, we continue with the Jack Del Rio Show. We got about 12 minutes left in the program. Let's try and grab a couple more calls. Ed is in Orange Park. Ed, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Coach, got a question for you.
Let it rip, Ed. What's on your mind?
So you said something about Terrence Sutton about keeping his feet, and I've been noticing number 93's been not staying on his feet a lot. Is that a problem?
No, not really. What are you referring to, a specific play? Because he's pretty much on his feet.
No. I mean, when I'm watching the game, I mean, in the stands or on TV, it seems like he's always falling down on the ground.
No. Tyson, our tackles, one thing that separates them, you know, to me, when you look at good offensive or defensive linemen, is guys that can stay on their feet. I mean, they're big men. They're all big men. But when you have big men that can stay on their feet, and they can flatten down the line, they can make plays sideline to sideline. That's when you have something special, and we think we have that in both those young men.
Boy, that was a heck of a rush that he made when you lined him up out at defensive end, and he got around Wayne Hunter.
Yes.
I mean, that
I thought maybe Ed was talking about that, because he ended up on his feet, or off his feet. He ended up off his feet, but he was wrapped around the quarterback, and quarterback was hassled and got the ball out, but if he could have stayed up and taken one more step, he'd end up with a sack.
The explosiveness that he showed.
It was very good. Very good. So that play was in my mind when Ed was talking about 93 being on the ground. Yeah. I was referring to that play when it was a heck of a rush. If he just could have stayed up one more step, he would have had a sack.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. We've got Lee in Pontevedra up next on the Jack Del Rio Show. Lee, welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you. Coach, just wondered if you'd give your thoughts on our linebacking corps. I have a little bit of concern of our new middle linebacker in pass defense.
Well, you've probably been listening to Prisco or somebody, but no, we like him. He's a good football player. He got a little distracted on the first third down, let the back run out there in the flat on him, but you know, he's a good player, and he's very conscientious, and he is a tackling machine. He showed he's exactly what we wanted when we signed him. He's fit. He's fit to a T. I mean, this guy is smart, tough, productive. He's there every day, brings a lot of great energy. He's going to make a ton of tackles here for us, and he's given us exactly what we're looking for. Now, there's some situations that have come up with the back coming out of the backfield or a tight end the other day coming across the middle. He's real close, and he's got
to
make those plays, and he will. He will make those plays. Nobody's perfect. There's not a guy out there that goes through a season and doesn't have some plays get made on him. This is the NFL, the best of the best, and that can happen from time to time. But I guarantee he's going to make his plays.
How about Clint Session and what you've seen out of him? I mean, we know what Darryl is.
Yeah. Well, it's a great core. It's a great linebacking core, and Clint is a active run and hit kind of linebacker, and he didn't play a whole lot the first week, and he had that one, you know, kind of you can't believe you saw it kind of play. But he's a guy that likes to strike people, and he played well for us this past week as well.
All right, folks, we need our final break of the evening. We'll come back with another segment of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick pause on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. We have just a couple of minutes left in our program. And so we've got time for one final caller. Bill's on the south side with a thought about the wide receivers. Bill, welcome to the program.
How guys doing? Coach, look, a lot has been said about the wide receiver position, but I'd like to encourage you to develop that position at your own pace, because I know you'll be successful at it. You know, everybody can't be a Jimmy Smith, who I remember one time played when he couldn't see out of one eye. He didn't tell the coach because he knew he'd be benched. But listen, if the Jaguars can't win without bringing some punk element in here like Moss or Owens or something, you know, I feel very uncomfortable with that. I'll take it off the air. Take care.
Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate you tuning in and calling in tonight. Look, we, like I said earlier, you know, I think our receivers start looking a lot better when our starting Pro Bowl tight end is healthy and playing, and when our other starting receivers back in action. So, you know, the bottom line is we went up against a really good secondary with two great corners.
Great corners.
And they were able to focus on, you know, a couple guys because we had a couple guys out, and they handled us. They shut us down, and we didn't pass the ball very well. But, look, we'll have better days, and we'll be back healthy, and we look forward to the next opportunity. It's about week to week. And
really is.
You have to keep perspective in the NFL, folks. It is a week-to-week league.
You know, Coach, after the Kansas City game last year, we went to Dallas, and nobody believed that this team had a run in it in the second half, and then you went on that run and had yourself in position to take the division title.
Well, we won 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
So you got to get ready for the next one.
Well, that's really it. It's very difficult. It's amazing in this instant things change in a moment's notice world that people can't get beyond Sunday.
Well, you do.
Eventually.
As soon as the next Sunday rolls around.
Yeah, exactly.
In the meantime, enjoy it. That's part of it. Enjoy the ride. There are going to be some ups and downs. And one thing I can promise you is the men in this building are working feverishly to put a plan together, go up there and battle Carolina, and find a way somehow, some way to scratch out a win.
All right, let me throw a wild curveball at you.
Go ahead.
Ready?
Yeah.
What do you think of the Pac-16? They haven't done it yet, but just the thought of conference realignment.
The
super conference idea. I mean, can you imagine USC playing Oklahoma State?
That train has left the station.
It's already gone, huh?
They're assembling these super.
Oh,
and I think it's. I just think it's the way. It's one man's opinion.
Yeah,
Nobody's told me anything. It's one man's opinion. I think it's just a way to get around actually having a playoff. I think when they end up with like 3 or 4 major super conferences, then they just play
each other,
the winners,
yeah.
And then you
get there.
There's your playoff.
All right.
So I mean, it's like it's the way it's setting up, you know.
They're talking about Texas, you know, in the SEC. Come on, right? Or the Pac-12, right? And they're talking about the Big East, which has been a very good conference for years now. You know, merging with the leftovers in the Big 12, and it's just a weird world.
Well. It's
and you being a guy who appreciates the history and tradition of college football.
I like some of the tradition of it. I like just the simple bowl games and some of the things that used to be, but maybe that makes me old guard. I don't know.
Whoever thought you'd call yourself old guard, especially on your own show. Coach, thanks for your time tonight.
All right.
We appreciate it.
See you next week.
Buckle up, folks. Have a good night.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.